of Kerry Alkom's attack outside the synagogue, all of Palestinian society was happy, not just this neighborhood. And that is all the time I have for today. My name is Billy, and I've been reading you the New York Times for the Talking Information Center. Have a wonderful day.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, Wellness and Fitness, followed by the Women's Hour at 11. Here's what's happening on the Armchair Adventure Hour. Starting Tuesday, January 31st, we're reading Love in the Time of Birdie by Alexander McCall Smith. Life for Birdie seems to be moving at a pace that is rather out of control. In Drummond Place Gardens, it seems that Olive has their future together, all planned out. Meanwhile, upstairs at 44 Scotland Street, Birdie's father, Stuart, is powerless to stop overbearing Irene and her motion for Birdie to travel to Aberdeen on a 3-month secondment. And further up in Newtown, while Bruce Anderson plots with old school chums, love blossoms in Big Lou's Cafe. Warm-hearted, humorous, and wonderfully wise, Love in the Time of Birdie offers philosophical insight as well as sartorial elegance. Catch up once again with the extended family at number 44 in this, the latest installment in the Scotland Street series. Love in the Time of Birdie by Alexander McCall Smith, starting Tuesday, January 31st. The Armchair Adventure Hour, every night at 10 on Recording Library of West Texas Radio. Read by listening.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 21 with fog. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low in the mid-20s. Then, tomorrow, snowy with a high in the upper 30s. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the upper 30s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 10 a.m.
This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by the Georgia Radio Reading Service, GARS. Hello, I am Chelsea Dinigan Davis, and this is Shape.com. The first article is How to Ease Back into Movement After the Holidays by Christina Heiser. Taking a holiday break from the gym is totally valid. And when you're ready to get back to an exercise routine, here's how to do it. Chances are your holiday season has been jam-packed with a whole host of activities. From workplace white elephant parties to potlucks hosted by various friend groups to baking and decorating tons of sugar cookies for your family's holiday dinner, it's safe to say you had a lot going on recently. With such a full schedule, it's possible you put your fitness routine on the back burner. And that's totally okay. In fact, taking a break from exercise could have been exactly what you needed to make it through the nonstop festivities on your calendar. As fun as the holidays are, they can be a bit stressful, says Tamara Tarragawa, master trainer with Yoga 6. Especially if working out does not fit into your schedule easily, eliminating that added stress of trying to make time for it during the holidays will allow you to relax a bit. Taking a break from fitness around the holidays also helps you avoid workout burnouts, adds Tarragawa. Some people experience that truly resting and taking a break from working out, for even a couple of weeks, can help their body reset and become ready to work even harder for them after the break, she says. Now that the holidays are over, you might be wondering how the heck you're supposed to get back into a regular fitness routine. The too long didn't read? It's all about listening to your body and taking things slow. Here are some simple strategies for easing back into movement at your own pace. 1. Practice breath work and meditation. Before you start working out again, take stock of how you're framing things, says Robin Barrett, Doctor of Pharmacy, NASM certified personal trainer and creator of the Dr. Robin B app on Playbook. Instead of beating yourself up because you missed a few workouts during the end of the year, train your mind to remember that the holidays were a resting period, preparing you and energizing you to get back in the gym, she says. How do you do that exactly? Breathwork and yoga are very effective for mental preparation due to their focus on meditation and mindset, says Barrett. A study published in the European Journal of Social Psychology found that practicing meditation regularly could help improve your motivation to pursue a goal. So if you're in need of a little push to get moving again after the holidays, then meditation could be just the ticket. Plus, another study found that just 2 weeks of a mindfulness training course improved focus and concentration, two things necessary to help you get the most out of your workouts at any time. 2. Start walking. Don't attempt to go all out during your first workout, as this could increase your risk of injury, as Shape previously reported. Allow yourself to ease into things. This often means starting off less intense than how you were the last time you worked out consistently, says Teragawa. Consider going for a 10 to 15 minute walk to start, she suggests. Do something that does not break your body and push it beyond its limits right away, says Teragawa. You have to rebuild the strength, stamina, and endurance to help regain the confidence and motivation to push further. 3. Try a gentle yoga flow. Of course, one of my top favorite workouts for most people is yoga, says Teragawa. A nice gentle flow class helps to gradually rebuild strength and confidence in your body, but also helps loosen you up and work on functional mobility. Other good low-impact workouts that can help you ease back into movement include walking, Pilates, and rowing, adds Teragawa. Low-impact workouts are ideal when returning to the gym after an extended hiatus because they have little to no impact on joints and tendons, meaning your risk of injury is lower, thanks to less pressure on your joints and a slower pace. 4. Do something you enjoy. Not big on yoga or Pilates? No problem. One of the best ways to ease back into movement is by picking something that brings you joy. That way, you actually look forward to working out. You may even find that doing something you like becomes therapeutic, so the main purpose of it isn't just to work out, notes Teragawa. Whether you're a fan of indoor cycling, dance cardio, or something else, the options are virtually endless. 5. Opt for shorter workouts. Start with 20-minute workouts 3 times a week, then increase the duration or intensity from there, suggests Holly Roser, an ASM-certified personal trainer. You can break that workout apart if needed and do 10 minutes in the morning and 10 minutes at night, she adds. And it turns out short bursts of physical activity have real health benefits associated with them, as Shape previously reported. According to a study published in the Journal of Applied Physiology, interrupting 30 minutes of prolonged sitting with a short activity break, think a 2-minute walk or a set of squats, can help stabilize your blood sugar levels. This, in turn, could decrease your risk of type 2 diabetes and heart disease. 6. Set small goals. You have to walk before you can run, and that's especially the case if you haven't worked out in a while. Before you graduate from college, you have 4 years' worth of classes and final exams, says Roser. Fitness is similar. Before achieving a pull-up, you need to start by amping up the weight on your lat pull-downs and curls. Try setting a measurable, time-bound, and specific goal to maintain steady motivation all year long, suggests Roser. Bonus, when you set small goals for yourself, accomplishing them will feel rewarding, she says. If you have a large goal you want to accomplish, try to break it up into small pieces so you believe you can achieve it. 7. Take time to stretch. Stretching and warming up for longer than usual when you first get back in the gym to avoid injury is important, says Barrett. An effective warm-up routine involves starting with diaphragmatic breathing, followed by foam rolling, dynamic warm-up exercises, and a few minutes of light cardio, as Shape previously reported. The best types of stretches to do before a workout, meanwhile, are dynamic stretches, which involve releasing and engaging again to help create blood flow, get oxygen moving through your body, and increase mobility, as Shape previously reported. The best cool-down routine, on the other hand, includes static stretches, which involve holding a specific position to create tension in the muscle, as these can help bring your blood pressure down more quickly. 8. Hold yourself accountable. One easy way to stay on track as you ease your way back into movement? Bring a friend along for the ride. Talking to a friend or accountability partner can be helpful in motivation, says Barrett. After all, having a friend there to encourage you will make it so you're less likely to quit in the middle of a workout, as Shape previously reported. Some good-natured friendly competition can go a long way too. One study found that those who exercised with someone who they felt was better than them at a particular exercise worked up to 200% harder and better than others. Barrett adds that a personal trainer, or using a personal training app, can also be useful for the purposes of accountability and getting support. Another way to hold yourself accountable is by putting your workouts on your calendar, says Tarragawa. Start off with fitting in 3 to 4 days of work in short sessions, and see how that goes, before adding in more days or more intensity, she says. 9. Stay hydrated. Drinking adequate amounts of water before resuming your exercise routine is great for increasing endurance and performance during your workouts, while preventing muscle cramps, dizziness, and other signs of dehydration, notes Barrett. You should start upping your hydration the day before a workout, rather than just minutes prior, adds Tarragawa. Why? Well, you sweat when you exercise, which means you need to guzzle extra H2O to replenish those lost fluids and prevent dehydration and its accompanying symptoms, as Shape previously reported. Although everybody has different hydration needs, Barrett typically recommends aiming for close to 1 gallon of water a day, which amounts to about 16 cups, if you're working out. 10. Listen to your body. If there's just one piece of advice you should heed when easing back into exercise and movement after the holidays, it's this. Listen to your body, says Tarragawa. The body will always tell you what it can handle and what it needs, so pay attention to what it's saying. If something doesn't feel good, stop. If you're taking a fitness class at a studio or virtually, for example, remember that you don't have to do everything your instructor guides, says Tarragawa. If it doesn't work for your body, take a different option. The bottom line? Be easy on yourself when it comes to getting back into a fitness routine after the holidays. Life is meant to be lived, so celebrate time with family and friends without the guilt, says Roser. Get back into your workout routine when it fits your schedule and you're able to take the time you need to reach your goals. Success is never linear. It always looks like hills and valleys. That article was How to Ease Back into Movement After the Holidays by Christina Heiser. The next article is These Fitness Pros Are Making Wellness More Inclusive and Bringing the Motivation by Chrissy King. Everyone deserves access to the transformative power of movement in environments that feel welcoming and comfortable. These people are helping to make that happen. It would be a massive understatement to say that I was intimidated when I got involved with fitness for the first time in my adult life. Just walking into the gym was scary for me. I saw an abundance of incredibly fit-looking people and felt like I stuck out like a sore thumb. I had no idea what I was doing and didn't feel totally comfortable navigating the gym. I didn't see any employees or trainers that looked even remotely like me, and to be honest, I wasn't quite sure if I belonged there or if anyone could relate to my experiences. My first experience with a trainer was a free session I was gifted for joining the gym. I remember that session vividly. Just picture me. Someone who had never been to a gym in their entire adult life, engaging in the most brutal training sessions you can imagine. I'm talking burpees, push-ups, lunges, jump squats, and everything in between. All in 30 minutes with very little rest. By the end of the session, I was lightheaded and shaking, almost to the point of passing out. The trainer mildly freaked out and brought me sugar packets to revive me. After a few minutes of rest, the trainer explained that I did a great job and he would have me in good shape and down 30 pounds in no time. One really big problem with this? Not once had the trainer asked me about my goals. In fact, we hadn't discussed anything prior to the session. He just made the assumption that I wanted to lose 30 pounds. He went on to explain that, as a black woman, I needed to manage my weight because I was at a bigger risk for diabetes and heart disease. I walked away from that first introductory session feeling defeated, unseen, unworthy of being in that space, utterly out of shape, specifically 30 pounds overweight, and ready to run away and never return to the gym for the rest of my life. I didn't look the part. I'd been embarrassed in front of multiple trainers and other patrons, and it didn't feel like a welcoming space for a fitness newbie like myself. For individuals with marginalized identities, whether it be members of the LGBTQIA+ community, people of color, older adults, individuals with disabilities, or individuals in larger bodies, walking into a gym can feel terrifying. Having access to trainers of diverse backgrounds goes a long way in allowing individuals to feel more comfortable. A person's unique set of varying identities impacts the way they see and experience the world. Having the ability to train with someone who shares some of these identities can allow individuals to feel more comfortable in a gym setting, and also more comfortable opening up about any fears or hesitations about the gym. It also leads to an overall feeling of safety. And feeling comfortable and confident in the gym may make you feel more motivated to stick to a training plan that you've decided to take on. Additionally, incorporating simple practices can go a long way toward creating a more inclusive workout world. And world, period. Taking steps such as installing gender-neutral or single-stall changing rooms and bathroom facilities, asking individuals their pronouns, having a diverse and representative staff, refusing to make assumptions about people's fitness or weight loss goals, and being wheelchair accessible can make a difference. Fitness isn't just for individuals of a particular size, gender, ability status, shape, age, or ethnicity. You don't need to look a certain way to have a fit body, nor do you need to possess any particular aesthetic characteristics to engage in physical activity of any form. The benefits of movement extend to every single human being and allow you to feel energized, whole, empowered, and nourished in your body, in addition to reduced stress levels, better sleep, and increased physical strength. Everyone deserves access to the transformative power of strength in environments that feel welcoming and comfortable. Strength is for everybody, and individuals from all backgrounds deserve to feel seen, respected, affirmed, and celebrated in fitness spaces. Seeing other trainers with similar backgrounds who want to make fitness more inclusive for everyone fosters the ability to feel like you belong in a space that all of your health and fitness goals, whether weight loss related or not, are valid and important. And believing that your goals are valid is a key to remaining motivated. Here are 10 trainers who not only understand the importance of making the workout world more inclusive, but also embody it in their practices. Morit Summers. Morit Summers, who founded Form Fitness BK alongside Francine Delgado Lugo and Jawan Ortega, is, in her words, on a mission to prove to you that you can do it too. Summers recreates popular and often very challenging workout videos created by other fitness influencers and trainers on Instagram, modifying the movements to make them more accessible for the everyday gym-goer, emphasizing that modifications don't make you less capable. Besides being a complete badass in the gym, partaking in everything from powerlifting and Olympic lifting to completing a Spartan race, she frequently reminds followers not to judge a body by its cover, proudly showcasing her strong and capable body across social media. Dr. Lady Velez. Lady Velez, MD, Director of Operations and Coach at Brooklyn-based gym Strength for All, decided on a career in fitness after finishing medical school in 2018 because she felt that being a coach was more conducive to helping people find actual health and wellness than practicing medicine. As a queer woman of color, Dr. Velez coaches and trains clients in weightlifting, powerlifting, and CrossFit, helping them find their own personal power and strength. Dr. Velez says she particularly enjoys training at Strength for All, an inclusive, sliding scale gym, because Although I have often felt welcome in other spaces, specifically CrossFit, I never realized how many other people didn't feel welcome in fitness spaces, she notes. What I love about what we do is that it's a place where queer, gay, trans individuals, and people of color can come and feel comfortable, seen, and understood. Her passion is evident. Just check out her Instagram, where she's constantly showcasing the clients she feels privileged to work with. Asher Freeman. Asher Freeman is the founder of Non-Normative Body Club, which offers a sliding scale queer and trans group fitness class in Philadelphia. Freeman is, in their words, a trans personal trainer determined to smash racist, fatphobic, cisnormative, and ableist myths about our bodies. In addition to training and providing tips for business owners on how to create a successful sliding scale system in order to ensure fitness is financially accessible, Freeman hosts a variety of classes and workshops, educating the fitness community about concrete ways to practice inclusivity, including Chest Binding 101, a webinar for fitness professionals to better service clients who bind. Roslyn Mays. Roslyn Mays, a.k.a. Roz the Diva, is a personal trainer, competitor in pole dancing competitions, and group fitness instructor who seeks to make sure everyone feels welcome in her classes, no matter their sexuality, gender, size, or ability. In addition to teaching classes at studios such as Body and Pole and Incredipole, she's led workshops ranging in topic from Build Your Confidence to Plus-Sized Pole Dancing. Mays also founded Dangerous Curves, a pole dancing competition for plus-size athletes. Natalie Huerta. Natalie Huerta was inspired to found the Queer Gym based on her own experiences attending gyms as a lesbian athlete. Her goal was to create a space that made everyone feel safe and welcome. The gym initially offered in-person classes in Oakland, California, and has since completely transitioned into virtual classes. I realized there really weren't any inclusive gyms ensuring safety for the queer community, so I built my own, Huerta previously told Shape of her decision to open a gym. I created a space so that folks such as myself could feel comfortable accessing fitness and wellness while also feeling a sense of community. Jessica Rehal. When Jessica Rehal started taking fitness classes, she noticed there weren't a lot of other students who looked like her as a Black and South Asian person in a large body. Now, as a yoga and meditation instructor, she aims to create an environment where all people will feel like they belong. I foster inclusivity in my hatha yoga classes by placing emphasis on being present and moving for the body and with the energy you have in this moment, with no end goal or results on the horizon, says Rehal. This is made possible by offering a variety of options and variations on traditional postures that may be difficult to obtain for one reason or another. Emily Young. A therapist and personal trainer, Emily Young realized that clients could benefit from trainers who were informed in the subject of trauma. She began adjusting her approach to training to meet the needs of her clients. I didn't know what to call it at the time, but I could look around the gym and see that the work I was doing was different, she previously told Shape, noting that she then found an existing name for what she'd been doing. It was like an aha moment of finding my place, says Young. As soon as I saw the words trauma-informed personal training, I was like, that is what I've been doing. Young worked with Hope Ignited Training to develop a Drive Trauma-Informed Personal Training Certification designed to help trainers learn about trauma and its impacts on the body. Wesley Hamilton. Wesley Hamilton was shot multiple times in 2012, which left him paralyzed below the waist. The life-altering event drove him to adopt new fitness and nutrition habits and found that he felt healthier and gained confidence. Hamilton created Disabled But Not Really, a nonprofit that empowers people living with disabilities through fitness and mental health education, and started competing in adaptive CrossFit competitions. The organization launched a hashtag HelpMeFit challenge, an 8-week program with training sessions and nutrition and mental health education for athletes with disabilities. Anne and Roose. When she hired a trainer in hopes of gaining strength, Anne Roose realized that she was coaching others on how to coach her, a deaf person, more clearly. The experience inspired her to become a trainer herself and introduce soundless coaching. Roose recently finished a contract with Marvel Studios and is currently offering one-on-one virtual and in-person training for entrepreneurs and sharing fitness and mindset practices on her Instagram. "Movement is the great equalizer," says Roose. "It doesn't matter what background you come from, what your identity or gender is, what culture you represent." Diane Bondi. Diane Bondi is an accessible yoga teacher who believes all people should be made to feel welcome to practice yoga. She teamed up with fellow yoga teacher Amber Carnes to create Yoga for All, an online certification program for teachers who want to offer accessible yoga. She started yogaforeveryone.tv, a workout streaming site with accessible yoga videos for people of all shapes, sizes, and ability levels. Melissa Shaw. Melissa Shaw is the founder of Find Your Breath, a yoga education brand that aims to make the activity accessible, increase the representation of minorities in the wellness space, and decolonize the ancient practice of yoga. As a yoga therapist, Shaw strives to adjust the practice to students' individual needs, whether that means adapting asanas or offering one-on-one sessions. Find Your Breath has offered classes exclusively for clients with marginalized identities and workshops with discounted rates for BIPOC students. That article was "These Fitness Pros Are Making Wellness More Inclusive and Bringing the Motivation" by Chrissy King. The next article is "Selena Gomez Graced the Internet with an Affordable Drugstore Skincare Routine" by Genesis Rivas. It includes products that cost as little as $8. As if you needed another reason to love Selena Gomez, the 29-year-old multi-hyphenate recently graced followers on TikTok with an affordable skincare routine that helps her achieve her glowing complexion. The best part? Almost all the products are conveniently available at your local drugstore, and prices start at $8. "Super affordable and works," she wrote in the caption. In the video, Gomez is sitting outdoors at a dreamy beach location with her hair tied back and her face clean and bare. "All products found at CVS I've used all week," is written in text on the video, as she takes followers through her step-by-step routine. At the beginning of the clip, the "Lose You to Love Me" singer holds up a jar of Urban Hydration's Aloe Vera Gel Facial Mask to prep her skin. This lightweight mask is formulated with aloe vera to provide the skin with moisture, while reducing the appearance of dark spots and acne. The clip cuts to Gomez wiping the excess off the mask from her face, and she begins to cleanse her skin. For this step, the Rare Beauty founder uses the Neutrogena Hydro Boost Hydrating Cleansing Gel, a cleanser infused with hyaluronic acid to effectively remove makeup, dirt, oil, and impurities without leaving the skin feeling stripped or uncomfortable. Next up on her list is the Vichy Purete Thermal Toner, which has a gentle formula that moisturizes, softens, and protects the skin against environmental aggressors such as pollution. Gomez applies a few drops onto a towel before wiping the liquid all over her face. Once her face is prepped and clean, the actress follows up with the only item on the lineup not available at CVS: Caudalie's Resveratrol Lift Eye Cream. Admittedly, it's a splurge-worthy pick for an eye cream, but its formula is packed with good-for-you ingredients, such as hyaluronic acid, vegan collagen, peptides, and resveratrol, a powerful antioxidant, to hydrate, smooth, and firm the skin around the eyes. Finally, Gomez rounds out her routine with the Neutrogena Bright Boost Illuminating and Brightening Serum. It's made with turmeric extract to visibly improve skin tone, texture, and clarity. Fans seem to love that Gomez shared her affordable skincare picks. Since being posted on TikTok nearly 5 days ago, the video of her drugstore regimen has racked up more than 7 million views, 1 million likes, and thousands of comments praising the star for sharing the mostly budget-friendly products. Can we talk about how nice this is that she's actually sharing products that don't cost a fortune? Wrote one commenter. Thank you for caring about every budget, said another. Shout out to Gomez for reminding her followers that skincare doesn't have to be expensive to be effective. Head to CVS to snag her picks or shop them online now. That article was Selena Gomez Graced the Internet with an Affordable Drugstore Skincare Routine by Genesis Rivas. That concludes today's readings from Shape.com. This has been Chelsea Dinigan Davis for the Georgia Radio Reading Service. Thank you for listening to GARS.
This recording is a service of the Allen County Public Library's audio reading service. It is specifically designed for and directed to people who have visual, physical, learning, or language challenges to reading traditional printed materials.
We all want to live better. Healthy Life will help you discover how. From exercises and diet to dealing with life issues like relationships and stress, you'll discover useful, down-to-earth information on healthy living from magazines like Health, Weight Watchers, and Personal Best Headlines. It's all about wellness on a wide range of topics to bring you a healthy life. Coming up next on your audio reading service.
Welcome, this is Healthy Life, and I'm your reader, Tony Ray, with the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Today I'll be reading from Men's Health, and I'll begin with an article called What COVID Taught Us About Health. The height of the pandemic was brutal. 3 years after all this started, leading scientists tell us what hard-learned lessons have stuck when it comes to staying healthy now, and through whatever comes next. This article by Carolyn Todd. Risk management is huge. Before the pandemic, how often did you really think about defending yourself from respiratory bugs? Most people were shrugging off the risk. Respiratory viruses weren't a big thing, says Misha Adija, MD, an infectious disease physician at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. COVID forced us all to take viruses seriously on a daily basis, and it highlighted the power our personal habits, such as hand washing, masking, getting vaxxed, determining which indoor situations to take the risk on or not, can have over the likelihood of getting sick. COVID also made it clear that not managing risk had consequences beyond a tough stay in the hospital or, in mild cases, losing a few sick days. One 2022 study found that a person infected with COVID was 33 times as likely to suffer from a first-time arterial blood clot during the first week of infection as someone who had never had the disease. Respiratory viruses can trigger other real medical emergencies, and these compounding factors can damage major organs and raise your risk of autoimmune conditions. Even relatively mild COVID can cramp your breathing and gym stamina for months. Vitamin D is a health hero, period. Pre-pandemic, it was easy to think of vitamin D as a bone-building nutrient found in milk, and that was kind of it. But when COVID-era research showed a higher risk of testing positive for the disease among people with a vitamin D deficiency compared with people with levels were fine, experts suspected that optimal amounts of the vitamin may help shield you from COVID, as it does with other respiratory illnesses. There's no clear conclusion on that yet, says Eric Fiegel-Ding, SCD, Chief of COVID Risk Task Force at the New England Complex Systems Institute. But doctors have long known that the nutrient plays a crucial role in immune health, and about 1 in 3 American adults is not getting enough. Vitamin D helps your immune system across the board. It rallies parts of the system to get working against microbes, and it may also reduce inflammation, a process that plays a role in a huge number of health conditions, including cancer, heart disease, type 2 diabetes, Alzheimer's, rheumatoid arthritis, and yes, even depression. If you already have enough vitamin D, extra won't benefit you. A blood test can tell you your level. To stay a healthy amount, aim for 5 to 30 minutes of midday sunscreen-free sun exposure at least twice a week. Your body uses it to make its own vitamin D and eat D-rich foods. That's salmon, trout, fortified cows, or plant milk. If you don't eat these foods or get that much direct sunlight, consider taking a supplement as an insurance policy during the winter. Long COVID is helping us understand other illnesses. Even one of the pandemic's most devastating and puzzling legacies, long COVID, may help drive up your understanding of health. This wide swath of troubles that lingers for about a half of those people who've had symptoms of COVID, everything from joint pain to brain fog, may not end up unique to this virus. May end up being unique to this virus, and it is creating a surge of interest in studying seemingly similar but often missed conditions like chronic fatigue syndrome, CFS, and post-treatment Lyme disease syndrome. We're still learning about long COVID, but among the theories about what causes these symptoms are organ damage, chronic inflammation, including that of the central nervous system, and reservoirs of virus remaining in the body. These are some of the same factors scientists think may be involved in CFS. Knowing more about long COVID could shed light on those other conditions too. What's very clear, at least, is that these illnesses are valid. The basics are a big deal. Health issues that develop over time, like stroke and type 2 diabetes, have been on the rise for years. About 60% of the U.S. adults have at least one chronic illness, while 4 in 10 have two or more. Yet until you're diagnosed with one, the danger of chronic illness can be far off. COVID made it clear that people with chronic conditions were at a higher risk for severe illness, and it made people take an honest look at their health habits. Obesity, for instance, went from being something I get around to dealing with to being a risk factor for complications from a scary new virus. It's really a picture of a glass. Every risk factor, eating less sugar, not exercising, not treating high blood pressure, adds water to the cup. That picture of the glass I just mentioned. Well, healthy habits decrease the water level in the glass. COVID can push the water over the rim. The takeaway here is more of a reminder, really. You know what to do, and you can prevent chronic illness by eating well, being active, avoiding tobacco, and being moderate with alcohol. Those small lifestyle habits may well save your life. Should I still do the following? Wash hands for 20 seconds. This is a standard regardless of COVID. How about disinfecting groceries? The risk of transmission from touching a surface is low. Or the KN95 masks. For high-risk people and recommended communities, sure. And cloth masks? Good ones work okay. Just make sure you clean them. Here's a fantastic quote from Corwin Collar. You get a mind, a body, and a lifetime. What you do with the first two determines the last one. Well, here's a question that has been asked of men's health. How long before bed am I actually supposed to stop eating? Answer, 3 to 4 hours. We've seen that eating within 2 hours of bedtime leads to worse quality sleep and possible weight gain. In general, all eating should take place within 12 hours, so breakfast at 7 a.m. and dinner wrapping up at 7 p.m. which puts your earliest bedtime at 10. If your fitness goal is to gain weight and muscle, there is some evidence that having 20 to 40 grams of casein protein around 30 minutes before bedtime helps with muscle growth and recovery. The best thing to do is get that extra protein earlier. A more protein and carb-rich dinner has been shown to lead to better sleep. If you're still hungry before bed, a small protein and carb snack such as Greek yogurt or cottage cheese and a little fruit can help you feel satisfied without being overfull. And if you love desserts, keep it small and 3 hours before sleep. This advice came from W. Christopher Winters, M.D., and Brian St. Pierre, R.D., doctor advisors for men's health. And now, an article, Minimal Health, Maximum Health. Make this year of reaching peak health with less time and hassle. Use these 3A numbers as your low-sweat guide to a stronger year. This article is by Linda Floyd. Number one, the number of doctor visits you should focus on each year. Your annual physical needs to be, well, annual. Most people only go to the doctor when there's an ache in their knee or a cough that won't quit. But preventative medicine is key, says Dr. Raja Gasputa at the University of Southern Cal. You'll stay on top of your appropriate screenings so you can be ahead of the game. You have to know how your heart, colon, and everything else is going to take care of yourself in the right way. Number two on the list, number of minutes it takes to increase your quit smoking success. A very short conversation with a doctor about smoking was enough to boost the likelihood that people should be smoke-free 6 months later, according to the most recent research review from the Cochrane Tobacco Addiction Group. So many patients I meet with say they've tried everything to quit, but often they're not aware of all the tools we have in our arsenal to help them quit smoking. The number was 2. 7 is the number of minutes you need to work out to see benefits. When you're just starting to exercise, you don't need to slog through a long session. 7 minutes can improve your heart and lung health, insulin function, and muscular strength and endurance. Pick 14 body weight exercises, some involving resistance, that's pushing, squats, and planks, and others involving cardio, jumping jacks, and sit-ups. Do 20 sets, and then rest for 10 seconds, and then do it again. We're such believers in the 7-minute workouts that we've created a whole book of them. Men's Health has that. Well, here's the caveat. A more seasoned trainee will need a higher threshold to see increases in fitness. This number 0. Numbers of New Year's resolutions you need this year. Big resolutions can create immense anxiety because there are so many opportunities for something to go wrong over the course of a year, says Tara McMullen, author of the goal-setting book, What Works. Plan in 3-month segments instead, she says. You'll get predictable times to take stock of what's working and pivot on what's not. The bonus? We have much more confidence about what we can do over 3 months, and more confidence makes you more likely to achieve the goal. Oh, the number 13. The number of minutes it takes for meditation to work. It's 13. Researchers at New York University found that guided meditation doesn't even require 15 minutes a day to bring on decreased negative mood, enhanced attention, better memory, and lower anxiety. Instead, aim for 13 minutes, and apps like 10% Happier, Calm, and Liberate are painless ways to get started. 1 in 5. The number of prescriptions that you probably don't need. There are 2 big reasons people end up with an unnecessary RX, according to the most recent data published in PLOS One. First, doctors fear malpractice if they don't give prescriptions. And second, patients often pressure docs to give them at least something. some money and time, and avoid potential side effects by routinely reviewing all your meds with a physician. The number two, number of minutes you need to spend foam rolling. Just two. When you push on a pressure point with a foam roller, your thumb, or any device, it can take about 90 to 120 seconds for the tissue to spasm and then fully release tension. So there's no need to spend all morning rolling on a few tight spots. Here's your pro tip. Roll into a spot of mild discomfort, breathe, and imagine the tissue relaxing under the pressure. Then move on to another spot. If it's too intense, the tissue will retract and not relax. The number five, the number of good friends it takes to boost your health. There's a huge amount of epidemiology research showing that the best predictor of your physical wellness, mental health, and even longevity is tied to the number and quality of close friends you have. Says Robin Dunbar, PhD, author of Friends, Understanding the Power of Our Most Important Relationships. To shore up your friendships, ask people to do things with you. Men are often better at connecting side by side than just sitting across from each other over drinks. The best 55.2 minutes of your day can be your commute. That's exactly how long the average trip to work and home was pre-pandemic. And now the commutes are back. You have two choices. Complain about the trek or seize the most hour for yourself. By Paul Kita. I started working from home in 2018 when it was a little short of a rare and magical existence. People would ask me, wow, what's that like? And when COVID came, and wow, they all found out what it was like. I always thought I'd miss after-work drinks, working lunches, and the bull crapping around that came with office life, and I did. But what I missed most of all surprised me. I missed my commute. That drive contained something I feel like I have less and less of these days, time. Time to decompress. Time to think. We're all saying we wish we had an extra hour in our day, but commuting offers almost exactly that amount according to the latest U.S. Census Bureau data. You can rage at your commute. You can rush through it. Or you can implement these six strategies to maximize that golden 55.2 minutes that you might actually miss. Actually meditate. Regular can help reduce stress, anxiety, and anger, according to Kaiser Permanente. And there's nothing stopping you from having a meditative commute. The simplest description of meditation is paying attention to what's happening, says Seth Gillihan, PhD, author of Mindful Cognitive Behavior Therapy. So in the car, that might mean noticing the vehicles around us and feeling our hands on the steering wheel and so forth. But if you need help, here's just a couple apps. Calm is a good one with Tamara Levitt. And there are 3 to 5 to 10, 15, 20, 25, and 30 minute meditation types that you can use. Sing Hirashi and has a on Insight Timer. Her 10-minute compassion commuter meditations focus on awareness and compassion, and they're easy and they're simple. And the last one's on YouTube, Finding Serenity During Your Enraging Daily Commute, and that one's by Louis Prada. It's a spoof, yeah, but one with oddly soothing music and some stress-deflecting punchlines. You can't tailor your podcasts. Here's just a couple. Unlike a bajillion others, these podcasts are short, one commute popcorn, new within the past year, so they're good. If you're a rubbernecker, try This Is Dating. It's voyeuristic, it's cringy, it's funny, and it's spot-on analysis of true connection in the internet age. Or try, if you're distracted, Run Bambi Run. It's a gripping true crime about a former Milwaukee police officer and play bunny, and they're arrested for murder. If you're stressed out, try Food Game. Oh, Food Crime. Each show details culinary corruption, like a lawsuit lopped at Subway for selling a fake tuna. It's silly fun. Another way to help your commute is block out the noise. Headphones. 100% of the 11% of commuters who use the public transportation know what other passengers are annoying. And the solution is MU7 wireless noise-canceling headphones. And there's one from the British Sound Geek at KEF. Yes, they're $400. The sound is crisp and full, and the design is sleek and portable, and the interface is all taps and swipes. Another way to help that commute, revisit the short album. Instead of fiddling with your playlist mid-drive, some way to crash, put on these 30-minute or less classics picked by our music expert, Keith Nelson Jr., John Coltrane, and Johnny Hartman. The smooth jazz will take off any and all the edge. Or how about Nashville Skyline? Bob Dylan takes it easy and has some fun, just like a good workout. Rain in Blood, nonstop hell at your heels motivation for big to-do list days. Daytona is a good one. Pusha T on Hustle. Competition and what it takes to fight for success. And the last one is Arthur Verocchia, Funky and Dreamy. It transports you no matter what your transportation. How about embrace the bike lane? You know that cycling to work improves both your health and the planet's. But it can also sometimes suck if you don't have the right gear. So here's some stuff you need to make the trip a joy. When it rains, have fenders, pieces of material that block tire spray. No wet bike butt on rainy days. Okay, what about lugging stuff? A better backpack. I rely on ones that with external pockets for easy access. Okay, distracted drivers. That totally sucks. Bright lights and a loud bell. And another one is the funk. Body wipes are recommended. And a good one to try is DukeCannon.com. They are $12, but they have a nice combo of menthol for freshness and aloe to help soothe you. Number 6 is the exercise. Do these mini workouts regularly during your commute and you'll reduce pain and soreness from said commute, says Ebenezer Samuel. Try them on public transportation or at the red lights. Okay, here they go. For your core, sitting tall in your seat, tighten your abs to pull down your rib cage. Hold for 15 seconds. Do 2 sets. Work your way up to 3 sets of 1-minute holds. Okay, for your glutes, sitting tall in your seat, squeeze one glute and hold it for 15 seconds. Do 2 sets. Work your way up to 3 sets of 1-minute holds. Yes, I was doing that as I sat here. For your posture, sitting tall in your seat, arms extended while holding your steering wheel, push your shoulder blades into the seat and hold for 10 seconds. Repeat for 2 more sets. If you still hate your commute, leave on time every day, or try to. High performers tend to consistently arrive at and leave work at the same time, according to a 2021 study. They also report lower levels of stress before, during, and after their commutes, and use their smartphones less. Living large in lean times. Here's some tips and some quotes. Inflation sucks, but rising prices don't have to cut into your healthy habits. Here's some things that'll help. Setting up a home gym with TRX, a Bosa ball, dumbbells, a pull-up bar, and a punching bag. In addition, I am using more fitness apps to help organize my workouts. I tend to rotate apps and have used Daily Burn, TRX, and Fitbod. That was a tip from Michael Fredrickson. He's an MD. For medications, I am looking at online sites like GoodRx.com. Sometimes prices with their coupons are less than my copays with insurance. And that tip came from Keith Roach. He's a doctor. Two lattes at Starbucks is probably going to set me back a minimum of $10 per day, or about $3,650 per year. Instead of spending all that money, I purchased a Breville Barista Express for about $750. I buy coffee beans for $16 a bag, and that's $416. Organic milk, that's $10. So let's just say a gallon per week is $520 a year. So that's $1,686 or more than the $1,900 in coffee savings the first year. That also came from Dr. Chris Winter. Well, that's all the time we have for today. This has been Tony Ray with Healthy Life. I hope you've enjoyed today's reading from the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, cooking magazines on In the Kitchen, followed by the Noon Book Hour at 12. Here's what's happening on the Noon Book Hour. Starting Thursday, January 26th, we're reading West of the Pecos by Zane Grey. Templeton Lambeth had desperately wanted a son, an heir to ride by his side through the ranges west of the Pecos River. But to his disappointment, his wife bore a girl. His hopes crushed and in denial, he decides to raise his daughter as if she were a boy. In honor of Lambeth's more successful brother, they named her Terrell. Upon the arrival of the Civil War, Lambeth enlists in Lee's army, leaving behind his wife and tomboy daughter, with hopes to reconcile living in the shadow of his brother. By the time the war ends, Lambeth returns a colonel, and his wife has passed. Tired of his old life as a cotton planter, he packs up with his tomboy daughter, Rill, and heads for the alluring western frontier to start anew. After they arrive in the West, the colonel is brutally murdered. Rill, disguised as a youth of 18 who rode with the toughest, is left to fend for herself in the Wild West, swarming with outlaws. Enter the one they call Pecos Smith, a rugged desperado with a mysterious past and one bad reputation, though he may not be what he seems. West of the Pecos by Zane Grey, starting Thursday, January 26th. The Noon Book Hour, weekdays at noon and 2 a.m. on Recording Library of West Texas Radio.
The Midland Lighthouse for the Blind is currently hiring a production worker. Job summary: responsible for a variety of hand assembly production of writing instruments, safety and security items as directed by manufacturing manager or working foreman. Job functions and responsibilities: assemble writing instruments, package finished items that have been assembled. Additional responsibilities, if applicable: read work orders and pull the needed components from stock. Other duties will be assigned by supervisor. Qualifications: must be able to function in a team environment, and good work ethic. These positions are for legally blind and blind individuals. Individuals are defined as legally blind if central visual acuity does not exceed 20/200 in the better eye with correcting lenses. Alternatively, if visual acuity is better than 20/200, then field of vision in the better eye is limited to a degree that its widest diameter subtends an angle of no greater than 20 degrees. Benefits that are offered: health insurance, dental insurance, life insurance, retirement plan, MASA insurance, vacation and sick pay, profit sharing, tuition reimbursement, advancement opportunities. And for more information, you can call 325-653-4231 or visit 211 South Lee Street in Midland, Texas, or call the Recording Library at 432-682-2731.
To love was all we could do. We were young and we knew. Deep inside we knew our love was true for a while. We paid no mind to the past. We knew love would last every night. Something right would invite us to begin the day. Something happened along the way. What used to be happy was sad. Something happened along the way, and yesterday was all we had. Never knew that what was wrong, oh baby, wasn't right.